said, he said, Pastor, they started coming with notebooks. And when somebody comes with notebook, it means he's serious. He wants to learn. So I want to tell you, we need the word of God desperately, especially in this last days, that the enemy is doing a lot of evil. A lot of evil. Wrecking lives, wrecking communities, wrecking churches, wrecking ministries. If there's any time you need to be strong in the Lord, it is what? Now, in this last day. If you play with it, this wind that is blowing, when it blows you, you feel comfortable. You think nothing is happening. But the Bible says you have entered into covenant with death and with hell. And you say nothing will happen. But my prayer is that we'll not be victim of those things. But we have to make up our minds, make up your mind that I am going to be praying and seeking God when I go for. When you meet all this Saturday's meeting, you should be praying about it. You should be praying about it. Pray for those who will speak to you. Pray for that, your president. God will bless you immensely if you do things like this. God will find you very useful. You know, Paul talked about somebody who is useful to me in the ministry. God will find you extremely. You mustn't stand up here. You mustn't even have a name or title. On your knees, you are seeking God for Saturday meeting for your group. Oh my God. God is so pleased about this. That's a selfless, humble service behind the scene that God was in public and comes and rewards you. You don't walk in there accidentally. No, you walk in there because it's the work of God. It's the work of God. It's the work of God. It's the work of who? God. It's not just men's meeting. No, it's the work of God. It's the work of Jesus. And we honor him through that way too. When we take this thing seriously, when we are serious to know him, he will reveal himself. If you are serious to know the truth, he will reveal it. But if you are casual, I was talking to somebody at the parking lot. I said, I'm so worried about you. I said, and I didn't tell the person half the story. I'm really so worried about you. I said, your life is slipping away. You didn't have to talk to me. I knew it. Do you know how this thing happens? You find something like grasshopper. This thing is eating inside. The thing is eating inside. You still think it's grasshopper. But inside is what? One day it will be only carcass. That's the way it works. Praise the Lord. So we must up our game. We must be more serious this year. We must be very committed to the things. You decided to follow Jesus. You decided to be a Christian. If you want to eat a toad, eat what? Fat and juicy one. So if they call you a toad eater, you should be. Andrew Womack says something. They said many Christians, you can't find enough evidence to convince them in court that they are Christians. If you take them to court to convict them that they are believers, you can't find any evidence to show court. I don't know if you got what he was saying. There's no proof that they are Christians, except the cloth they wear on Sunday. We must be fervent in the Spirit. We must be fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. We must be fervent. Paul said, my life is poured out. Poured out. He said, none of these things move me so that I will run this race and finish my... He couldn't be bothered about anything else. The Bible said that, look, that we as soldiers cannot be entangled with the things of what? This world. So we can run this race. That's the way it works. You can't be giving God all these reasons, you know, jobs and things like that. You're wasting your time. He said, how can you be entangled with the things of this world? How can you? Paul gave up everything. No wife. Nothing. Just to do this. And we can't give up anything. And yet, Jesus gave up his life. And we can't give up anything. I will say it's important to us. If it's important to you, God will know. But if it's not important to you, you'll be a mediocre and be arguing, ignorant, just be arguing in blindness. in ignorance. You will just be arguing all over the point, wasting your time. Just wasting your time and growth you won't see. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, we're doing part two today. What does it do? We said there are three things the Holy Spirit does. The first one is this ministry in us. What's the second one? His ministry what? For us. What's the third one? His ministry where? Among us. You must know it because this is the era of the Holy Spirit. It's important that you understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you, among us, and upon us. But now we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. And we say this, to reveal Jesus Christ to us. It's to reveal Jesus Christ to us. And to reveal the plan of God that was consummated in Christ for your benefit and for my benefit. To reveal it to you. Because if you don't know that, you will not benefit from it. You will not experience it. You will not believe it. You will not accept it. And you do without. And all those things that those things are supposed to do in your life will not be done. Because there's no other way they will be done except what God has provided us in Christ Jesus. And if the Holy Spirit didn't come to tell us about salvation, we will never know that Jesus died for our salvation. If he didn't come to tell us that he destroyed the powers of the devil on the cross, we will never know. If he didn't come to tell us that, hey, at the cross, you are made a new creature, we'll never know it. We never would have known that. And we'll never have experienced that. We'd have just been walking in ignorance. So he came to reveal Christ to us and to reveal the consummated plan of God that has been before the world began. And through this, to reveal the love of God to you and to me. And I want you to listen to this one. That as you now begin to understand the love of God, the Spirit of God transforms your life to love the same way. Changes your life to be loving, caring the same way. So that's what we've been dealing with. And it's so important that we deal with this because this teaching hasn't been so popular in the body of Christ. And through this revelation, like I said, we produce the fruit of the Spirit. 2 days ago, the Lord asked me a question. He said, what? He said, you talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Say, what seed produces that fruit? I'm telling you. He said, what seed? What? Produces that fruit. Because he said, if you talk of fruit, it has to be seed. So he was asking me, he said, what seed then? He said, because if the Christian doesn't know the seed that produces that then, he will neglect it. So, and these are the set of truths that the Spirit of God is revealing to us. So we bear fruit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. They mean the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We bear fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, which is the fruit of the new nature that God has given us. And the truth that the Spirit of God is revealing to us about Jesus is the truth that sets us free. Is the truth that what? Sets us free. And is the truth that builds our faith. It is through this truth that we overcome and become strong. Colossians 2:7 says, can I have the time up? The time, please. Colossians 2:7 says, Colossians 2:7 says, let your roots, is that, so you can't put Bible up. It's not working. So all this while I've been talking, didn't come on. Okay, Colossians 2:7. Can you give me New Living Translation? New Living Translation, let me read it. Okay. Can we read it together, everybody? Let's go. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your roots grow down where? Who is him? Christ. All right? And let your lives be built where? Him. 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 Into him. Built on him. Then, when this happens, then your faith will what? grow strong. Now, is it not with this faith you overcome sin and overcome the devil and overcome challenges of life? Is it not this faith that built the shield with which you will quench every fiery dart of the devil? Is it not this faith on which you stand? Is it not this faith that makes your prayer work? Is it not this faith that the Bible said the just shall live by what? His faith. So that if my faith is compromised, my Christian life is wishy-washy. No matter how I am determined, no matter how sincere I am. So he says, your roots should grow down into him. My roots should grow down into Christ Jesus. And let your lives too be built what? On him. Why? There is no other foundation that God has laid for us except that which has been laid. And which is who? Christ Jesus. So if my life is built on him, then my life is built on God's own foundation. On God's own foundation. And challenges do come. Sometimes they are severe. Sometimes they are brutal. But if you build it on Christ, that solid rock, your faith will grow and be able to handle that challenge. No? So, grow strong in the truth you were taught. See the word taught? See what I told you on Sunday? I said, you need to go and be taught. Don't let the devil deceive you. Because we're looking, my son, Ugo, he said, Daddy, you know, I don't know where he came from, but all of a sudden he came to me and said, Daddy, come. He said, do you know the thing that brings us down is the small things? He said, we're looking for big things. He said, the small things, they do what? They can stop them. And then he laughed and walked away. So the conversation started. The conversation quickly ended. And I didn't see my apostle. So we need to be taught. The devil will come and deviate you in small things. The Bible called them little foxes. But they spoil the vine. That's the truth. They spoil the vine. You cannot, brethren, the day you made Jesus Lord, you gave up your right to choose. The day we came and said, Jesus is the Lord of my life, all my right and every right I have is gone. Totally gone. He decides everything from beginning to the end. And his decisions are in my own interest. In my own interest. So if he says, hey, you should be taught this thing, I will get up my couch and go and be taught because that's what he said. And if I don't do this, then the devil has started itching me away from what God wants me to do. Yesterday, I was sharing with them here yesterday how unless we follow the pattern of the scripture, we are just deceiving ourselves. We won't get results. That's why the Bible says, be ye doers of what? The word. Or else you are doing what? Deceiving yourself. I told them a story. How I went to somewhere with my beloved brother Uche to New York to pick somebody. And we're having a good time in the car. That car is awesome. But after riding in that car, I was thinking whether to trade in my Mercedes. So the car has this, you know, the GPS is different. The radio was Cyrus radio. Already, they're playing Christian music. I said, hey, this is good. This is really good. Wow. I said, this is good. The music is good. And I said, this pastor is Cyrus. Even some of you, your radio doesn't have FM. I talk of Cyrus. Cyrus radio. So I loved Cyrus. I said, I have to have this radio. I said, this Christian music is good. It's called Messages. You know, Messages. I think, I don't know what the group is called. Messages is what they call it. But it's coming from there. So I had that desire to have it. And go home, forgot it. A couple of days later, I got the letter and dropped it. Then yesterday, something said to me, open that letter on your table. And I took it. It was from Mercedes. So I said, wow. I said, maybe they are giving me some check in excess of what I paid the last time I was there. So I was opening it quickly to look for check. When you are broke, even 5 cents means a lot. If you're as broke as some people here, you will look for it like me. So I was looking for it, whether it was Sheikh. It wasn't Sheikh. I was disappointed. But it was Cyrus Reed offering me 2 months free trial. I said, wow, this is amazing. So immediately I went online to do what they said, and I entered the thing. Pra, 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 pra. The thing took me to the page. They said, this page cannot be found. So how can they play while you're like this? So I went back again. I did the same thing proper. Up to 4 times doing the same thing. And I finally found that I was missing something from the instruction they gave. Then I put that part, went back again. I was getting the same, this page cannot be found. So I finally found that I was still missing something. Why was I doing that? I was too confident that I knew what to do. Abba, is it not to go and put www? There were small details they put there. This one slash this. There's a plus like this. And then slash this. I wasn't slashing anything. I was typing because I knew I'm too confident. I'm not like my wife. Can type. But that taught me a lesson. The lesson it taught me is that, you see, the word of God, those small, small things can make you draw blank. See, I know what I'm doing. I've been a Christian. I'm too sure. God said, no, you should be taught. I said, God, I don't know what I do. I'm too busy to be taught. It's okay. So you put your papa, 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 written draws blank. Why? He said, you are not a doer of the word. You are just simply doing what? Deceiving yourself. Do you know, brethren, that anything that is good will cost you something? There is nothing valuable that comes cheap. Not in this life where we are. Nothing valuable comes what? And something as valuable as the word of God will cost you something. You're going to give up your pleasure, adjust your programs. Brethren, I gave up my profession sitting here. You're going to give up a lot of stuff if it's important to you. But you, at the end, you will gain double. Praise the Lord. Come and I said, praise the Lord. You know, some of you don't pay tithe. Somebody came yesterday, told me, Pastor, he said, I did my tax, and my tax man called me and said, your tithe saved you from IRS. Saved you from IRS. I said, really? He said, he told me. He said, if not this tithe you paid, you would have been in trouble. And the person is here. He said, if not this tithe you paid, he said, my friend, you would have been in serious trouble. He said, this tithe was what God used to save you. Again, you won't listen. But you know too much. You want to, people who are, my mentor calls them nickel givers. Say, nickel givers are always arguing and looking for a reason they won't give. Do you really think it's the Spirit of God that will tell you not to give to God? Simple question. Do you really think it's the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit will tell you, don't give to God. Don't you know it's the devil that wants to deprive the church of the money they need for missions? And you were here doing all that accounting we're doing. The money was going to missions, going to this. What came to me? It's not much. So my wife and I put together, we're the lowest rung of this. I pay 15% tax, as could be, from government for being a pastor. What I pay for being a pastor. You know. So, you think it's the Holy Spirit will tell you not to give to God? Really? That's the devil. That's the devil. That's what? Devil. Because the Holy Spirit said you can give bountifully. And then the scripture they quote is ignorant people. They say, Paul said, give as you purpose what? They don't know what they're talking about. Paul was not talking about church giving. He was talking about something he was collecting for gifts he wanted to give to the poor people in Jerusalem. He said, when I come, I collect that thing. But don't give out of severe poverty. Give as you have what? He wasn't talking about tithe and Sunday giving. It was the gift to the poor Christian, I say, was collecting. Collecting. Just like you do your free will, offering your ministry is collecting. That's what they were writing about. I don't even know why I went there. Amen. So he said, as we have been taught, and you will overflow now with what? Thankfulness. If your life is built on Him. On Him. On Him. On Him. And so the Holy Spirit came to reveal Him so that our life will be built what? On Him. So that we'll be rooted where? In Him. So that our faith will grow. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can reveal Jesus to us. Matthew 16:15. Then he asked them, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed." See, for knowing him, Jesus said, "You are what? Blessed." That's a blessing. Because this information you have with is the wisdom that promotes people. Jesus is the wisdom of God. When the Bible was talking in the Old Testament about wisdom is the principal what? He's talking about the knowledge of Christ, who is the wisdom of God. That wisdom of Christ that God is bringing, the ultimate wisdom of God, Christ himself, if you know him, say, will promote you. It will put a crown of what? On your head. Prolong your life. Isn't that Jesus came and said, "I've come that you have life and have it what?" Oh, it's pointing to Christ crucified. So he said, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." So, to know the person of Jesus Christ is the most important knowledge anybody can aspire to. That's what Paul was talking about when he said, "There is nothing that compares with the excellency of knowing Jesus Christ." Now, to know Jesus Christ makes you bear fruit of his life. Your life is transformed to be like him. That's number one. Number two, that knowledge reveals to you the love of God. And by this knowledge of God, God's love, it begins to make you to live a life of love, which is the goal, really, that we live a life of love with Jesus Christ. Live. And it will bring you to spiritual maturity where your spirit man is dominant over your carnal nature. It will bring you to spiritual maturity and it will make your faith strong because now your boast will no more be on anything else. Your boast will now be on Christ, on cross, on Jesus, and nothing else. Your confidence will not be on you, will not be on anything else. But then Christ crucified. Because you know him sufficiently to trust him with everything. To know that he is the one that brings you everything. Amen. I said amen. Okay. So, let's look at how this knowledge of Jesus reveals to us the love of God. For instance, your merited gift of righteousness. Your merited gift of what? Righteousness. It reveals the love of God for us. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Okay. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the what? Offering for our sin, so we could be made right with God through Christ." So he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we can be made the righteousness of God now. If this doesn't reveal the love of God to me or you, I don't know what will. I've seen people who were convicted to be killed and they get a presidential pardon. They couldn't contain their joy. Their families would come to receive them. They were so excited. It was a party time. And they were so grateful to the person that gave them that pardon. Can you imagine that we have been condemned to death? Because the soul that's in it shall die. And this is eternal damnation. And Jesus came, the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, and made himself to be sin, carried the sins of this world on him, so that we can walk out free. Somebody shout hallelujah. That should reveal to us the love of God. And then you see, the Bible says, for God so loved what? The world. That he gave his only begotten Son. So that giving his Son, who is sinless, to come and be sin for us, it reveals that God loves me and that God loves you. When we don't understand the grace of God, we become very proud of it. Because we think it's what we did that did this thing. No, it's his love and his grace. So the gift of Jesus Christ for us to become sin for us reveals for us. Look at what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. See? The just for what? The unjust. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Now, I want to say something, and I want to play Ravi Zachariah. I don't always listen to him, but a very good speaker. So I don't know how I ran into some things. He was a Muslim, asked him a question, and then I had it here, and I think maybe we'll have time to listen to it. But let me explain this thing called the righteousness of God. The Bible says that all have what? Sinned and come short of what? Witness. There is nobody that is as righteous as God, that has come to the standard of righteousness of God. Because God's standard of righteousness is his standard of his sinlessness. God's standard of righteousness is what? Sinlessness. God's standard of righteousness is not 99% and 1%, no. That was why the devil was thrown out. Because they say iniquity has been found in you. Now, you need to know this. That God's standard of righteousness is sinless perfection. Just like you now, when you, if you are somebody who is very neat by nature, you want your house to be very clean. You don't want dirt here and there. So your standard is, you want that place to be what? Clean. So God's standard of righteousness is his standard. This is his life. This is his standard. In heaven, there's no impurity there. And so the Bible says, you know, when God created Adam and Eve, there wasn't sin. Until sin entered the world, and man sinned and lost that standard of righteousness. The first shot of the glory of God is that he no more is able to be as righteous as God is. He's no more able to be sinless. Because he's been corrupted by sin. Are you following me up to now? If you are following me, say amen. Please listen to me. You got to understand this. So, that man has fallen and is not able to reach the standard glory of God is because he's no more able to be as sinless as God. The glory of God is departed from him. He's corrupt. And so the Holy Spirit says, there is none that is righteous. No, what? Not one. And there is none that is good. He said, there are evil from head to toe. He's talking about mankind. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think that in that state of affair, that any human being could rise up to that level of God's purity? Talk to me. Huh? And so God brought his own righteousness, which is the standard. I said, all of these people have fallen. They will never for eternity be sinless. Because they have sinned. It's like they've been contaminated forever. And so God brought his son, sent his son, to come and pay the price for our sins. Shed his blood so that the record of our sins will be what? Wiped away. It's not just that Jesus died for our sins, but the record of it. The sins we committed was cleaned out. And I want you to listen to me. Then he gave us new life. But in spite of this new life, because we have this flesh, we are still not able to meet the perfect standard of God. Am I right here? Huh? So how can you now live and fellowship with God when he demands that you come up to his glory? He gave us his glory as a gift. He now attributed to me and to you his own standard of righteousness, which Christ achieved. Can I hear amen? So when the Spirit of God came, the Bible said the first thing he revealed to us is the righteousness of God through the gospel. And because we don't preach this and teach it as much as is necessary, Christians don't understand it. And because we don't understand it, we struggle with relationship with God. And in that struggle with relationship with God, I want you to listen to me. We are being defeated by sin, defeated by the devil, confused, prayer not answered, because we don't understand the value of this righteousness that God gave us. And that's why the Holy Spirit said that those who have been given this gift of righteousness, they reign on what? On earth. They are the ones that live victorious lives. They're the ones that overcome the flesh, overcome the... Why? Because they have... Their heart is open to receive what God is giving them, and their faith is growing from glory to glory. And he said this righteousness is from faith to what? To faith. Which means it's not given to you outside of your faith. It starts because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and continues because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's never coming to you because of what you do. Because it's not, because if it's what we do, our righteousness will never be like that of God. But when you understand this gift of righteousness and your heart is open to the things that God is giving to you, I think what will help you to understand this is, listen to me. If you receive the gifts of God, you receive his love. Is that correct? Huh? You didn't get me. If you receive the gifts of God, you are receiving his love for you. Am I right? And, but if you reject the gifts of God, what are you rejecting? His love. And the Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercies that you are not what? When you reject the love of God, you are rejecting that mercy through which you will not be consumed by these things that the devil is doing. If you receive the gifts of God, you receive his love. And when you receive his love, your faith in him grows more and more and more and what? More. And through that faith now, the works of righteousness is produced in your life, because the faith produces works, not works produces faith. Praise the Lord. It's faith that activates the power of God in your life to live holy, to live purity. The problem we have had is this. Lord, you need to help me. The problem we have had is that we have not taught these things to the body of Christ. And because the body of Christ is not conversant with it, we have focused on man-produced righteousness. We have focused on ourselves doing the right thing, living the right life. I need to calm down, because you need to understand this. Are you hearing me? So, because we have not talked so much about this gift of righteousness that changes the whole equation of your life, where your life is tapped into the power of God now, and God is the one at work in you to will and to do and producing those things, and your life becomes a product of the work of God, a product of the hand of God, a product of Christ divine in you. Because we have not taught that. We have focused so much on our fault and how to improve on it. And me trying to improve on my fault neglects what God is doing and puts the focus on me and my sincere effort. And that my sincere effort will take me nowhere, because that's the work of my flesh the work of my hand, the work of my will, the work of my determination. But my life should be a product of the work of Christ in me. That's why the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, Chris Lawrence, he shared something with us that sometime in Newark, he said, Pastor, you preached on being a slave of Jesus. He said, we were so touched that we left and said, from now, we are now slaves of Jesus. He said, there were three of them that had this covenant. Him, Brother Mike, and Elijah. He said, Pastor, we went to the college. We were walking like Ahab because we are now slaves of Jesus. Slaves of Jesus. That's it. So I'm now a slave of He said, Pastor, after 2 weeks, I lost the slave thing. He said, I quarreled with somebody. I didn't even remember I was a slave anymore. He said, by the time I was through that, I said, oh my God, this slave has run away. That illustrates exactly what I'm saying. The body of Christ has not brought us to where we can put our faith in Christ alone from beginning to the end. So we reap the fruit of what he came to do and what he's doing in your life. In which case, he said, enter into my rest. Stop struggling. Stop trying. It's okay. Emmanuel, God is what? Here. I came to help you. I'm the Lord your helper. I want to emphasize this and taught it. And so the Christian is always looking at himself and wanting to impress God, as sincere as he is, wanting to, like, they were walking like slaves of Christ, but it didn't last. It only lasted how long? 2 weeks. So, unless we come back to understand what the scripture is trying to point out to us, look unto Jesus. Look unto what? Jesus. Unless you discover what Paul discovered, your boast will not be in the cross. Your boast will not be in Jesus. You will look at yourself and, boy, we're a huge mess. That's why you find Christians quarreling easily, fighting easily, doing this easily, because they mean well. They don't want to. And when they do this, they go home crying. 2 days, they're still crying because they're sincere Christians. Paul said, the way to do this, I didn't know. He said, but thanks be to God that through Christ now, what the Lord could not do, God did. Somebody shout hallelujah. So I don't know if we have, I don't think we have time. Can you play that Ravi Zachariah thing if you are able? If your technozo doesn't work, we'll continue. Righteousness. So that he can walk in us, so that we can have relationship with him, so they can now do that which only God can do, which is produce the life of God in our lives. So the Holy Spirit comes to reveal this to the church in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God is what? Revealed from faith to faith, which means it's outside what I do. It's only by faith that I get this. And as it is written, the just shall live by his faith. So one of the things that the Spirit of God reveals to us is the gift of righteousness which God gives us. Because on our own, we can never, no matter how we try, come to the perfect standard of divine sinless righteousness. So God gives us this gift, attributes it to us, and it is the gift of his son, the life of his son, the righteousness of his son that he gave us, so that the obedience of Christ made us righteous. Can I hear amen? The obedience of Jesus, what? Made us righteous. He gave us that obedience as a gift, so that with that I can go to God boldly, and God will help me if I'm in a mess, if I don't understand, if I'm struggling with things, the Lord will help me and bring me to a point of victory. Amen? But you see, if I don't understand that, I'll be struggling with my imperfections. I will never go with boldness. I will never go with faith. And I will never be able to enjoy a God that is eager to help me and to help me move across and to move forward in life and to overcome things in my life. So this is so critical to understand that the Holy Spirit came to reveal this thing so our faith will be built in Him, strong in Him, and grow. And then we know that, you know, our old nature has been cut away. All of us knows that in Christ Jesus, so that we're all new creatures. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's what? All things, behold, all things have become. So there's no need for me to try to take anything out of me because it is already been taken out. That the only thing that makes this work, again, question, what is the seed that produces this fruit of righteousness? What is the seed? What is the seed? Christ. Christ and His Word. And His Word. For instance, if the testimony of Jesus says, I have changed you, that is truth. If the Lord says, look, all things in your life have what? Passed away. That is absolute truth. And that word, if I hold it on and sow it in my heart, will produce a faith that believes that I'm not what I used to be. And as a man thinketh, so his life will turn around. But if I don't take in what Christ has told me, and I keep it aside, and I'm struggling on my own to stop this and stop that and stop that and stop that, I'll be sinking deeper and deeper into despair, into frustration, into this, because I keep failing. But if I come back to that seed of the word that He gave me, He said, listen, I've destroyed the power of sin over you. You are no more a slave to sin. I've set you free. You know, by accepting that, I'm honoring Jesus. Is that correct? Come on now. By accepting His word, I'm doing what? I'm honoring Him. And when I honor Him, I benefit. But if I dishonor Him, I don't benefit. You can't benefit from what you don't honor. When Jesus said, hey, Chinedu Emmanuel, you know, you are not who you used to be. On the cross, I changed you totally. All things about you have what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become. If I want to see the arm of the Lord work that out, all I need to do is to believe that report. So that becomes the seed that produces the new things. It shall be to you according to your faith. Somebody say amen. Do you get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? Now, it's a process from faith to faith, from faith to faith. It's a process because your faith grabs it. You start growing in the reality of it. As the more you meditate on it, the more you study, the more you listen to teachings about it, the more your faith is coming up. And the more your faith is coming up, the more the reality is showing in your life. The more the reality is showing in your life. The more that thing He told you is being real. It's being real. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it's being real. It's being real. And with no effort, you just see yourself transforming, 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 transforming. You've entered into His rest. Now He's walking. Listen, if you're walking, God stops walking. But if He's walking, you stop walking. You walk only under His guidance and instruction. Which means you do what He told you to do. That's why I say if you are not a doer of the word, you are deceiving yourself. So in this case, He said, I have done this, and all I want you to do is what? Is what? I didn't hear you. Is what? I didn't hear you louder now. It's what? Come on, I didn't hear you. It's what? So if I want to be a doer of the word and not deceive myself, I simply believe what He did. I go to bed. I say, Lord, thank you, you did it. Then tomorrow He say, ah, but I'm not. No, it's from faith to what? Faith and faith and faith and faith. In 1 year, you won't know me again. You will be so shocked to this person that I used to, slightest thing will get angry. The anger dies because Jesus said, I killed it. So it's no more a struggle. It's no more a struggle. It's not a question. This is not managing this thing. It's no more a struggle. It is a new life developing, a new life developing. A new. The Bible says, lay hold on eternal life with faith. Lay hold on it with faith. Come, do what I'm doing. All right, everybody. Lay what? Do what I'm doing, everybody. Do what? Lay hold on eternal life. That's how you lay hold on the life that God gave you. He gave you a new life. He took away the old one. You lay hold on it. If you lay hold, you grab it hard. This is who I am. This is what I have. And by accepting the gift of God, you accept the love of God, your heart begins to melt and walk like his heart. Amen. Ephesians 3:18. See, Ephesians 3:18. So we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What is revealing to us? I don't know if you are benefiting. Are you benefiting at all? So the struggle must stop. The believing must start. The struggle must what? Stop. What starts now? Believing. Okay, let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, and see what accepting the love of God and the gift. Look, if you give me this, you know, you give me this thing, what is it telling me? You love me. Is that right? I didn't hear you. You love me now. If you come tomorrow and say, Pastor, I bought you Jeep Wrangler, I'll be very excited because I love Jeep Wrangler. I will say, Mo, you bought me Jeep Wrangler? Yeah! Man, this man loves me. Or this woman loves me. It's the gift that talks. God's gift reveals how much he loves us. And so look at Ephesians 3:18. That you may have the power, that's prayer that Paul is praying, power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints. This is amplified. Amplified, I'm sorry. Okay, let's read it, everybody, let's go, because this is the last scripture, and then on Thursday we can continue our stuff. That you may have the what? The power. And be strong to apprehend and grasp with all. So this is what all the saints should have the ability to do. God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of feet? That's the love of God. Continue. Continue. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourself the love of who? Christ. Which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may now be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of who? Of God. May have the richest measure of divine presence and become a body that is wholly filled and flooded with God himself. You see what knowing the love of God does? He says when you experience its height, its depth, its when you experience it for yourself, he said you become somebody who is matured, who is flooded. The life of God floods you. Why? Because you are receiving those things that God is giving, that God has given you. You are receiving them, you are receiving them. And because you are receiving them, they are doing what God intended for it to do in your life, and your life becomes flooded with God, flooded with God. You receive eternal life, you lay hold of it, you say, yeah, I'm a new creature. You receive it, you hold it. You receive this one, you hold it. You receive this one, you hold it. The more you are receiving, the more you are flooding your life with divine presence, divine activity, divine truth, and you mature. Praise the Lord. But if you don't receive them, you are empty of those things. You are totally empty of those things. And if you are empty of them, there's no way anybody can help you. You can come to this church 20 years, you can sleep here. Unless you receive those things that God provided in Christ, you do without. There is no alternative. So you see, put that, give me New Living Translation. Let's look at New Living Translation. That's Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, as all God's people what? Should. How wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. He said, all God's people should. Then the next verse, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made. You'll be made what? Complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You see what it does? When you open your heart to receive the grace of God, it's not the laws. The laws of Moses cannot give you this experience. Others trying to do this and trying to, won't give it to you. The Holy Spirit told us the way to receive this fullness of God is to know his love. And how can I know his love? Is to receive the gifts of love, the acts of love he has given me free of charge. Do you get what I'm saying? You're looking at me like I came from the moon. Do you get what I'm saying? Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? So what did I say the last one? You have to understand the love. And how do I understand the love of God? By what he has done. Love is action. If I say to President Okwere, I love you, he has had words. But if I start acting by giving him things he never expected, I give him this, I give him that, I give him that, I give him that. He said, wow, you still giving me? I say, yes, I'm not done. Then he comes, I give him this. They say, who gave you this? He says, Pastor, do you know the price? He said, no, it's $500,000. I said, wow. Whoa. See, that man likes you. Am I correct? Huh? Come on, church. How much is the eternal life? It's priceless. How much is your deliverance from Satan, that wicked spirit? Priceless. Everything we receive from God is priceless. That's why Paul said that the knowledge of Jesus is what? Priceless. And that will tell you how much God cares about you. And God challenged the church. He said, if I gave you my son, what will I not give you? I mean, if I gave you what? My son. You were a sinner and I gave you my son. He said, tell me what I will hold back again. So why are you not coming to me in confidence? It's because we haven't been properly taught. Our mind is focused on us. And we are trying to please him, trying to do better, and failing. And we keep failing. Like Chris, they were trying to be slaves. Where is the slave? The slave ran away. It's not here again. Where is the slave of Jesus? Huh? Where is this? That's the slave of Jesus. You know, they were trying to be, and they meant well. But okay, in that trying to be question, where is Jesus in it? Trying to be slave. They said, we are slave of Jesus. They were trying every day. What was Jesus? What's the role of Jesus in it now? They cut him off. They cut him off. And the Bible says, Jesus said, what you are trying to achieve without me, you can't do it. That thing you are doing is a waste of time. If you want me in it, you come and listen to me. Let me tell you what I've done already. So you enter your rest and enjoy your ride with me. I like that translation of message. It says, come and learn the unforced rhythm of grace. What is that? My wife should know. Come and learn the unforced rhythm of what? Grace. Eh? What? I didn't hear you. Matthew what 11. If you don't know it, nobody knows it here. Huh? Chapter 11, verse 1. Okay, let's read it. Message. We'll close with that. Matthew chapter 11. 11. Verse. Huh? 29. 29 to 30. Matthew chapter 11. Message. take my yoke, a message, not New Living Translation. Walk with me and walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of what? Grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting. I want to take your questions. Where do you have difficulty? I can hear you. Don't look for me. Okay. Come nearer. Audio.
Significant difference in the mindset of a Christian as opposed to a Muslim. And it's fundamental because those differences play as to inform as to why we believe what we believe and how we live the lives that we live. One of the fundamental differences that a Muslim represents from a Christian is that they say it is nowhere that Jesus indicated that we should worship him. That line of thinking as a Christian is incorrect. And as we have clearly seen, that is a fundamental difference in how a Muslim reads the Bible, even though they believe that Jesus is a prophet.
If I were you, I won't be talking of Muslims. I'm talking of us here.
Okay.
We have issues. We don't even believe a lot that the Bible is teaching. There's no Muslim here. We're talking of ourselves. Our issue is not comparing Muslim and Christianity. Okay. What we extracted from there is that we're teaching that we are incapable of being as righteous as God, so that God in his mercy gave us this gift through Christ. You get my point?
Gotcha.
Yes. Forget about the Muslim. There are a lot of things they don't believe, and we don't care about. If they come, we teach them the gospel, that's all. Okay. But we're not comparing us and them.
Gotcha.
Is that right?
Thank you.
So no question. Okay, let us pray. As we bow our heads here, if you have the need, if you need healing, can you stand up? Close your eyes, please. Just stand up where you are. Don't come to the altar. Just stand up, please. If you really need healing in your body, you just stand up quietly where you are, because I want to pray for you quietly before we continue. Everybody close your eyes. Don't come to the altar. Pray for you quietly before we continue. I want you to show the Lord where you need our healing now. You need to touch the place you need our healing now. If you are standing up, if you are sitting down, that's not the instruction. The instruction is to stand up. That's what he said. He said, stand up. And then show the Lord where you